in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You might be seated. Welcome to church. Today is day 13 of our 14 days of glory and fire, our mid-year prayer and fasting program. And it has been an awesome time in God's presence. Hallelujah. We thank God for the supply of great grace. We thank Him for supernatural strength, supernatural help. Apostle Paul said, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Hallelujah. Kebo rondo sovrahadila. Secrets of Supernatural Living, Part 6. We started this teaching series 5 days ago. Today, by God's grace, will be the concluding part. Secrets of Supernatural Living, Part 6. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Our anchor scripture, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. We said, all the signs mentioned in Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, they are all supernatural signs. None of those signs are natural. And the Bible says those signs God have ordained, that these supernatural signs should follow a believer. It didn't say believers shall follow these signs. It says these signs shall follow believers. You see, the supernatural should not be strange to the child of God. It is a part and parcel of our heritage in Christ. Hallelujah. And by the way, today is the birthday of Witty Programmer, our beloved HOD Media. Minister Moses said, Jim, let's celebrate him. We are going to pray for him as a family, and then you receive your prophetic blessing. Hallelujah. So it says, Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe, or these signs shall follow the believing ones, or these signs shall follow believers in Christ. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Now all these signs are supernatural signs, and God have ordained that they should characterize the believer. So operating in the supernatural, walking in the supernatural, is the heritage of every believer in Christ. Is one of the characteristics of a believer. These signs should characterize your life as a believer. Am I communicating? These signs should follow you, should escort you, should accompany you any day, any time. Glory to God. We say every believer in Christ that has received the life and nature of God has a supernatural DNA. Oh yes, we have that divine life, we have that divine nature that codes for supernatural living. And we started by talking about the basis for this supernatural life that we have in Christ. Number one, we said
The number one, the first basis is the life and nature of God that we received when we got born again at new birth. We received the divine life, Zoe, is a supernatural life. The nature of God is supernatural. So, the power supernatural living. The second basis is the Word of God. The Word of God is supernatural in nature, is supernatural in origin, it is supernatural in operation. And we are the supernatural offspring of God's word. God's word gave birth to us. Our life is sustained by God's word. So we cannot live without God's word. Okay? We live by the word. We are sustained by the word. And the word is supernatural. And the source of God's word is supernatural in the first place. The word of God carries and conveys the supernatural life and power of God. John 6:63. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spiritual life-giving forces. The third basis for supernatural living is our union with God through His Spirit. Our union with God through His Spirit. Our oneness with God. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us and is in union with our spirit, and the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives, empowers us for supernatural living. The Holy Ghost is the grand commander of the supernatural, is a custodian of all of God's power. So His indwelling presence in you makes you more than a mere human being. It makes you more than a mere mortal. His presence in you is the third basis for supernatural living. So you learn to acknowledge His presence, you recognize and reference His presence, and you learn to commune or fellowship with Him, and you obey His voice, you yield to Him, surrender to His will, and then you walk in the supernatural. God is a supernatural God. God, our Heavenly Father, is a supernatural God. His word is supernatural. The Holy Spirit, His Spirit is supernatural. His kingdom that we belong is supernatural. Hallelujah. Everything. We His children are supernatural. Glory to God. The fourth basis for supernatural living is the name of Jesus Christ. We say all authority and all power resides in that name. Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use His name. When you function in His name, you walk in dominion. You operate in the supernatural. You command the supernatural when you learn to function in the authority of Jesus. Because His name represents His authority. His name represents His person, His presence, His character. Am I communicating? You can walk in all-round dominion in that name. The name of Jesus is a generator of supernatural miracles, signs and wonders. That name is a miracle worker. Glory to God. We started looking at the laws that govern the supernatural. We say the supernatural is not magic. It's not magical. It's not a mystery. The supernatural is not a mystery. It's not mysterious. Is not mystical, neither is it magical. There are laws that govern supernatural manifestation. You want to walk in the miraculous. There are exact laws. They are spiritual laws. They are not natural laws. These laws are spiritual laws. All you need to do is to understand and master these laws. When you understand them, you apply them, you will walk in the supernatural. Praise God. Thorough comprehension of these laws, coupled with correct and consistent application of these spiritual laws, will empower you to walk in the supernatural. Glory to God. And the first of those laws we started looking at is called the light of revelation knowledge. Very powerful. The light of revelation knowledge. We said you assess and operate in the supernatural through the key of revelation knowledge. The keys to the supernatural, they are in form of revelation knowledge. God made known His way to Moses. The revelation of His ways is what put you in command of His supernatural act. Moses could produce
those supernatural acts in form of miracle signs and wonders because he had a thorough understanding of God's ways. So this is very important. So you go for the light of God's word, study and meditate on scriptures, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Study the miracle ministry of Jesus and then the apostle Acts, the book of Acts, and then study some characters that walked in supernatural dimension, outstanding supernatural manifestation, Moses, Elijah, etc. in the scriptures, Elisha. You know, when you take time to study, you will receive light and revelation on how to operate in the supernatural. Then you've got to be committed to preaching and teaching the gospel to win souls, for soul winning and soul development. God confirms his word with miracle signs and wonders. Mark 16:20, they went and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming his word with signs following. So be committed to soul winning. Be a preacher of the gospel. Hallelujah. God will confirm the message with signs and wonders to get souls saved and to bring them into the kingdom. The second law that triggered the supernatural we looked at yesterday is love for God and people. Genuine love for God and a compassionate heart towards suffering humanity. Love and compassion for the needy, for those that are suffering, for the sick, for the poor, for the oppressed, for those in need, for the confused, for the ignorant. Compassion undams the rivers of the anointing. A compassionate heart of love will unlock the flow of God's miraculous power. Compassion is a very powerful trigger for the supernatural power of God to flow in manifestation. Hallelujah. Compassion. What you cannot feel, you cannot heal. Compassion for the poor will trigger the flow of the prosperity anointing. Compassion for the sick will trigger the flow of the healing anointing. Compassion for the ignorant will trigger the flow of the teaching anointing. Compassion for the oppressed, those buffeted by the enemy, battered, shattered, it will trigger the flow of the anointing for deliverance. Anytime you have genuine compassion for the plight of the suffering, God has a way of anointing you to bring supernatural solution to those people that are suffering, that are in need. Hallelujah. In fact, the two cases of great faith Jesus cited in scriptures, two cases of great faith, they were connected to compassion. It was triggered by a compassionate heart. There were two people that Jesus said they had great faith in the scripture. The first is the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was grievously vexed by the devil. In Matthew 15:21-28, the story was told, the account was recorded, of that Syrophoenician Canaanite woman. She was not a Jew, she was not an Israelite. She begged Jesus to come and heal her daughter. He said, my daughter is grievously tormented by the devil. Initially, Jesus would not want to, because he was sent. He said, I'm not sent to just everybody. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He knew the jurisdiction of his authority. That was before he died. It was after he died that his authority extended to everybody. But the woman was persistent. Jesus said, it's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. In other words, the children of Israel had right. It is their right for them to be healed. But if you are not part of the commonwealth of Israel, is not part of your right. Am I communicating? It's the mercy of God that can bail you out. But this woman's faith really impressed Jesus. When Jesus said it's not fit to carry the children's bread and give it to the dogs, the woman said, yes, Lord, you are correct. He said, but even the dogs they eat from the crumb that fall from the table. I know outsiders are called dogs. The non-Israelites, they are referred to as dogs. So the woman didn't even feel insulted. Rather, her faith was great because of her love for her daughter. I want you to see that. It was love that triggered that great faith. She was not asking for Jesus to minister to her own need. It was not for her own healing. It was for her daughter. And you know, mothers with compassion for their children. So, when she made that statement, the Bible says she worshipped Jesus. Jesus looked at her. He said, "Woman," he said, "great is your faith." Then Jesus said, "I have not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel." He said, "I say to you, your daughter is healed. That devil is gone out of your daughter." And she believed. And when she went back home, her daughter was fine. Because there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. What I want you to see in that story is that what triggered the release of that great faith that resulted in that healing miracle, her daughter being delivered and healed, was because she had compassion for her daughter. Then the second case of great faith, the second scenario that Jesus commended someone for having great faith, was that centurion in Luke chapter 7, 1 to 10. The centurion, whose servant that was dear to him. Now watch this. A certain centurion servant who was dear. Mark that word. The servant was what? Dear. What's the meaning of dear? What's the meaning of dear? Precious. What else? Beloved. Thank you. He loved the servant. It's, you know, it's not every ogre that loves their servant too. It's not every master that loves their servant. But this centurion, he loved that servant. He loved him. To the point that when this servant was sick and ready to die, oh, thank God for caring and compassionate masters. Am I communicating? If it were some people, Barwana, waiting consign me, they will send the servant back to his father's house. Say, go home, you are not feeling fine. Let your father take care of you. But look at it. He looked for solution. He was moved by the plight of the servant. He was compassionate. Caring heart. Move on. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he will come and heal him. You see, he used his influence to even beg the elders that they should please call Jesus. He sought for help for his servant that was dear to him. See, you must learn to stretch your faith to carry others. Don't just be using your faith only for I, me, and myself. Am I communicating? In your faith life, stretch your faith. You want to operate in great faith? I'm showing you the key. Learn to stretch your faith to carry others, to help others. Consider the needs of others. Don't just be blinded. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered in your faith work. All the things you are releasing faith for is only you, I, me, myself. What of others? Look at this centurion. He released his faith not for himself but for his servant. Move on. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Move on. He said, "For he loveth our nation." You see, another thing I love about this centurion. He loveth our nation and he has built us a synagogue. He was a lover of God. And by the way, he's not a Jew. He's a Roman. He's a centurion. He's a captain over 100 soldiers from the world sent. Sent is 100. Centurion. He's a captain over 100 soldiers. A commander over 100 soldiers. He's a Roman. Yet, he loved the God of the Jews to the point that he built them a synagogue. Was a man of love. Next verse. The elders met Jesus. He said, "Please, this man deserved this." And Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, "Lord, trouble not thyself." You see, my God.
He said, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Next verse. He said, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. So the reason why he did not even come himself to beg Jesus to come and heal his servant is not because of pride. Look at it. He was feeling unworthy. That who is me? Who is me? Who am I? To go and... You know, he was a humble man. Look at it. He said, I'm not even worthy. He said, but say in a word. He said, say in a word. Matthew says, speak the word only. Am I communicating? Say in a word, because the man understood that the authority is released by speaking. Jesus' authority is exercised by speaking. Once Jesus speaks, the demons will respond. Once Jesus speaks, healing is released. Once he speaks, demons are casted out. The authority to bring healing and deliverance was in his words. He says, speak the word only, and my servant shall be whole. And look at the next verse. For I am also a man under authority, having under me soldiers. I say to one, go, he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. The man is saying, I understand how authority works, because I'm a man under authority. Authority works by speaking, issuing a command. Am I communicating? And when you speak, those under your authority will enforce what you say. He said, when me I speak, I'm in charge of 100 soldiers. I get things done by speaking. When I speak, they carry out my command. He says, just like me, I'm set over soldiers. Jesus, you are set over sickness and disease. So when you speak, they will obey you. The angels will enforce whatever you say. Am I communicating? He was a man that understands how authority works. Next verse. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He marveled. Jesus was surprised. And he turned him about and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. This is the second case of great faith. And both cases of great faith, they did not exercise the faith for themselves or their personal need. It was for others, the people they loved. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, learn to stretch your faith to help others too, to carry others too. The third law we looked at is prayers with fasting. We looked at that extensively. We say fasting is one of the lost Christian disciplines in the church today, especially the Western church. It's as if the Western church are eating their way to death. In fact, some preachers are even preaching that there is no need to fast, that the days of fasting are over. Am I communicating? No wonder the church in the West is becoming weak. All those great revivalists you read about, the exploit they did, the move of God, those days, you hardly hear of them today in the Western world. It's part of the reason they have lost this heart of prayer and fasting. It needs to be restored. They brought us Christianity. They inspired us. But today, we have to carry the Christianity backed up with power back to Europe. We need to carry the revival fire back to the Western world, to America. Hallelujah. Fasting. The early church, it was a practice in the early church. I told you yesterday, the early church fasted every Wednesdays and Fridays. The Pharisee that we laugh at, the Pharisee we call religious people, they had the discipline of fasting. The Pharisee fasted twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisee, you cannot enter the kingdom. Am I communicating? We laugh at them, but look at their discipline. Do you think it's easy to be a Pharisee those days? You must know the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, down to Deuteronomy. You will know it off heart.
should be able to recite it the way people recite Quran. Praise God. Look at their discipline. Glory to God. Even Jesus could not fulfill his messianic mission without prayer, with fasting. To even start his ministry, fasted 40 days and nights. Jesus, the Son of God. You see his prayer life. Mark 1:35. Rose up early, went before days, started praying, communing with God, to the point that they had to look for him. They say, all men seek thee. Before he chose his disciple, Luke 6:12, Jesus prayed all night to choose his disciple. Yet one of them was Judas Iscariot. Imagine if he didn't pray. Maybe he would have had 11 Judas Iscariots and then one genuine person. Am I communicating? Before Jesus went to the cross, before his arrest, he prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried with tears. The Bible says he prayed until his capillaries busted, hematohidrosis. He was under such intense mental pressure, emotional pressure, emotional stress, mental stress, until the capillaries of his skin busted and instead of sweat, blood mixed with sweat was coming out. Jesus prayed until he sweated blood. That was where he gained the victory. Before he even went to the cross, he prevailed first in the place of prayer. When he was done, he knew that this mission cannot fail. Am I communicating? You learn the heart of prayer with fast. I'm yet to see anybody walking in the supernatural that doesn't have this discipline of consistent, regular, periodic fasting with prayer from time to time. I'm yet to see any. The healing revival in 1940s, 45 or so, that we read about, it was triggered by two things. Number one, on one end, the revelation of new creation realities taught by Dr. E.W. Kenyon, a Word of Faith preacher. In fact, the real father of the Word of Faith. Okay? The new creation reality that emphasized healing. You know, initially, the emphasis was on salvation, as in forgiveness of sins, getting born again. But later, the revelation hit the body of Christ that, look, the same sacrifice that dealt and solved the sin problem also dealt and solved sickness problem. Am I communicating? So emphasis was now made not just on forgiveness of sin and remission of sin. Emphasis was made also on divine healing. So that on one side, that was one of the revelation that led to that healing revival. Then on the other side is the revelation of fasting, the power of prayer and fasting. And it was an evangelist, Franklin Hall, that wrote a book that time, The Atomic Power of Fasting. The atomic, even though excesses here and there, but you cannot change that truth. On the other end, that revelation also hit the body of Christ. And by the time they combined both, the healing revival broke out. And Kenneth Hagin said, those days, the easiest thing to do during the healing revival is to get somebody healed. Am I communicating? There were over 102 registered healing evangelists those days, led by William Branham. He was like the leader of the Voice of Healing. There were over, like today we have PFN, we have CAN, all those kind of registered, those that were registered, though, not the unregistered ones. And there were many unregistered ones. Catherine Kuhlman was not even among the registered healing evangelists those days. Just think of it. So it was an explosion. So I tell people, the revelation of new creation reality is not an excuse. It's not a reason why you should not pray and fast. Am I communicating? You need both.
In fact, to make the legal side of redemption your vital experience, you must learn to pray, you must learn to fast. Am I communicating? This is very important. The finished work of Christ is the basis for prayer and fasting. It's not the reason why you should not fast. But there are people that say Jesus has done everything, no need to pray. Jesus has done everything, no need to fast. The apostle of new creation, Apostle Paul himself, he said, in fasting often. He was a man that lived a fasted life, a man of prayer and fasting. Glory to God. The fourth law is praise and worship. The fourth law, that fourth spiritual law that govern, control the supernatural, is praise and worship. Acts chapter 13 verse 2, it says, in that ministers' conference at Antioch, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Did you notice that? And that minister to the Lord, give us an amplified, it means they worshipped God. Okay, they were worshipping God and they were in a fast. The Holy Ghost said, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said, separate now for me Barnabas and Paul for the work which I have called them. And then next verse. This was how Paul's missionary journey began, characterized by all those supernatural miracle signs and wonders. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. You see, when you pray, when you fast and you worship God, you receive divine direction. Can you see the order? As they worshiped God, they ministered to the Lord in worship and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, somebody say divine direction. Somebody say divine instruction. You see, it helps to fine-tune your spirit. Worship, fasting, they help to fine-tune your spirit so that you can receive. It sharpens your discernment. It sharpens your sensitivity. Your spiritual receptacles, they become very sensitive to receive the voice of God, to hear God, to receive divine direction, instruction, so that you can walk and operate in the supernatural. Paul went on to have a supernatural apostolic ministry. Then in 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 15, the Bible says, as the minstrel played, as the minstrel, prophet Elisha, he said, bring me now a minstrel. They consulted him to prophesy concerning the battle. The king of Judah, the king of Israel, the king of Israel, Jehoram, that's the son of Ahab, then the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom. They formed an alliance to fight the king of Moab. Am I communicating? And they wanted to know what will be the outcome of this battle, even before going for the battle. And then they sent for prophet Elisha. Even though prophet Elisha was not happy with the king of Israel because of his idolatrous practice, Ahab's son, okay, he was not happy with him, but he was happy with the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, because him, he was a worshiper of God. You know, sometimes our emotion can affect the flow of the anointing. Okay, yes. Listen. You see, Satan knows these things. So sometimes when you are about to have a ministration, he will start using people, start using event to vex your spirit, to get you offended. It may even be the keke man that you entered. You understand? All manner of this, attacks here and there. The goal is to poison your heart, or get you offended, get you angry, put you in a state that you will not be able to minister well. You need to understand Satan, because it matters your emotion. Am I communicating? So prophet Elisha needed help. He said, bring me now a minstrel. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. How can you explain it? Is there a connection? Yes, music is very important. Music is very important. As that minstrel played, the prophetic anointing upon Prophet Elisha was activated. So, next verse, he started prophesying. So, you see, when you praise God, when you worship God, and through the ministry of music and all of that, it activates the anointing. Am I communicating? It activates the anointing. Elisha started prophesying, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." And then he went on to prophesy victory. Am I communicating? It matters. Good music matters. I say good music matters. If you watch people that move mightily in the anointing, people like Etrikum and Benihin, they don't joke with music because they understand this principle. It's a law. Worship, praise, the atmosphere of worship and praise saturates everywhere. Show me anybody that is moving in the supernatural, signs and wonders. Anybody with a miracle ministry that jokes with worship and praise, show me any. That doesn't have a solid music ministry, you will not see any. Because you understand, it's a law. It's a law. When you see, the kind of atmosphere you create determines the kind of spirit you attract. When people go to nightclub, even if you are a good person, even if you are a good Christian, if you go to a nightclub, what kind of music do they play there, sir? See, the kind of music they play are the music that promote the terrible things: lust, immorality, fornication, adultery, all manner of drinking, smoking. Everything is programmed by the music. I heard one story, I don't know whether it's true. I just saw, he said one of these secular music, Timaya, that they invited him to perform in a club. And he went and he was singing gospel music there. He was singing a gospel song. And the thing spoiled the whole atmosphere. So, you see how powerful music is, but that the thing spoiled the atmosphere. That after, in fact, before he even finished, some people started leaving the club. They started leaving. The owner of the club was so angry that he should give him a refund. That the money he paid him, he should pay him back with damages. That he called him to perform so as to encourage all those things that happen in club. Now he's coming to sing a Jesus song. Now I'm trying to tell you the power of atmospheres created by the right sound, music. You will see Catherine Kuhlman always moving with a worship leader. I've forgotten his name now. If I remember, I'll tell you. You will see him anywhere, including when she's going to the studio. You just, before she ministers, he must sing. Hallelujah. You see him singing in the background. And then by the time the atmosphere of worship is there, the manifest presence of God is there. Anytime we worship, God manifests his presence and power. Genuine worship in spirit and in truth. And then you see our star ministry. And if you watch our ministration, our crusades and our meetings, you will see a strong atmosphere of worship. The same thing. Just call any great healing minister, any great minister moving in the supernatural, you will see the atmosphere of worship in their meetings. It's intentional. Benihin, the one asked him, he was in a studio. They asked him, "What's the secret of the mighty power of God, the healings in your meeting, your crusades and all of that?" He said, "It is the worship." He said, for instance, E.G. He started playing. He said, "Okay, just watch." He brought out his phone. He started playing those Benihin worship in the studio. He said, "Just watch." And he started playing those worship songs. Before you know, the presence of God just fill the studio, and the manifest presence and power, before you know, Benny Hinn started giving the anointing, the healing anointing is activated. He started giving word of knowledge. Said, there's somebody listening to me right now. You have pain on your left leg. The Lord is healing you right now. There's another person. Healing started happening. Then when he off the music, that was everything stopped. He said, I told you. He said, the worship atmosphere. There is a definite atmosphere for the miraculous. There is no mistake about it. Am I communicating? There is a definite atmosphere for the miraculous. Praise God. In Exodus 15:11, he said, God is what? Glorious in holiness. He is fearful in praises. He does fearful things in praises. Psalm 22 verse 3, God inhabits the praises of his people. He lives there. God lives in an atmosphere of continuous praise and worship. Look at the 24 elders and all the angels, the cherubims, the seraphims. What are they doing? Worshipping God throughout all eternity. That will be their job. The angels. 24/7. Am I communicating? In John 4:23, Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship provokes the manifestation of God's presence and power in our midst, resulting in supernatural manifestations of miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 13, the Bible says, as the trumpeters, the Levites, the singers were as one. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. United worship. They were united in worship to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and instrument of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord. The cloud, God's glory cloud, that Shekinah glory, that Shekinah presence was provoked through worship. Worship. Those that know me very closely, they know that I don't play with worship. Most of the times, you see worship songs in the background, even when I'm in the car. Sometimes, I sleep listening to worship songs. My wife knows. Worship. It creates the atmosphere for the supernatural. Encounters, signs, wonders. Praise God. When I had an encounter with Catherine Kuhlman, the secret she gave me to the supernatural was worship. That in particular. That was what she told me. And she told me that was the secret of our own supernatural ministry. Glory to God. The next law. We are looking at the laws, spiritual laws that govern or control or provoke or trigger the supernatural into manifestation. The fifth one is the law of faith. Romans 3:27 made us know that faith is a spiritual law. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 3 verse 5, let's analyze the miracle, the first miracle Peter performed, the first healing miracle Peter performed. Praise God. Let's see how it happened. In Acts 3:5, that lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Glory to God. The Bible says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive. Okay, go back down a bit. Verse 4. Let's look at verse 4. Who seen Peter, that's a lame man at the gate called Beautiful, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. Verse 4.
And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, he said, look on us. Next verse. And he gave heed unto them, that's focus, expecting to receive something of them. That is faith. That is the expectation of faith. Am I communicating? Expectation. The law of expectation. They asked T.L. Osborne, Ora Robot. They asked Ora Robot, the mighty American healing evangelist. In fact, Ora Robot has a mega media anointing. He was the pioneer of media ministry, as in Christian media ministry in America. He was the first person to take the gospel on TV, live, broadcasting those his healing crusade, and then at the end, he will make altar call, and then so many people were getting saved through televangelism. He was a pioneer of televangelism, not on radio, TV in particular. He inspired the likes of A.A. Allen, Asa Alonso Allen, and the couple of others that also went on air, on TV. He was the one that pioneered it. They asked him, what's the secret of those mighty miracles in your meeting? And then he said, the expectation of the people, the level of their expectation. When their expectation is high, the anointing flows more compared to when their expectation is low. Expectation is proof of faith. Am I communicating? You see, when people are highly expectant, they pull more of the anointing. There will be more supernatural manifestation. This man was expecting, the lame man at the beautiful gate, expecting to receive something from them. And next verse. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the healing happened. Somebody said, the law of faith. It matters your level of expectation. In one Benin Hinn meeting, a Spanish woman that doesn't understand English, she was in that meeting, paralyzed on wheelchair. She had not walked for years. She has been on that wheelchair. And then, during Benin Hinn is preaching, he was just preaching. And as he was preaching, he sighted the woman from afar. She was trying to get up. So, Benin was speaking in English. The woman does not understand English. She only understands Spanish, Espanol, Spanish language. Then, Benin was trying to tell the ushers, to tell the woman that she should calm down first. She should not try to get up until he start ministering to the sick. Okay? Then she should wait. But the more he was talking to her, the more she was trying. She was thinking that Benin is saying, oh yeah, you can get up. So she was trying to get up more. So they later realized she does not understand English. That is Espanol, Spanish language. So they needed to get an interpreter, somebody that understands Spanish. So Benin now told the person, he said, tell the woman that I said she should sit down on the wheelchair and wait. When he starts to worship and he starts ministering to the sick, then she can act out her faith. Then the interpreter then told the woman. Then the woman then told the interpreter to tell Benin that she has been on this wheelchair for donkey years. That she will not wait until until Benin start worshiping or ministering to the sick. That she is tired of this wheelchair, that she told them they should bring her to Benin's crusade, that she wants a healing and she wants it now. Benin then said, he said, okay, just leave her. He just continued teaching. Do you know, before Benin finished the teaching, the woman was already walking. Somebody say faith. See, God always honors faith. She was the first to receive a miracle in that meeting, ahead of others. Because she connected in faith to the power of God. Huh?
A man attended Oral Roberts' meeting, the healing evangelist. It was like a 3-day meeting or so. Day one, after day one, Oral Roberts administered. Some people were healed. Why some were not healed? He said those that are not healed can come the following day. They still have 2 more days. You can still receive their healing. So as Oral Roberts was tired, and you know Oral Roberts, he has this special grace, laying on of hands. He ministered a lot by laying on of hands. In fact, it is said that he laid hands on over, is it 1.5 million people in his lifetime. You know, so he was already tired, fagged out. He was just, after the whole meeting, he was about to go. And then a man just sitting close to where he was about to pass, he said, "Excuse me, sir, I'm supposed to be healed today." Among the people that were yet to receive their healing, he said, "Excuse me, sir, I'm supposed to be healed today." Or a robot then said, "Kai, you know, I'm very tired. When I'm tired like this, the anointing doesn't flow that much." He said, "You can come tomorrow." The man said, "No, I want it now." Or a robot explained again. He said, "When I'm tired like this, I find it hard to release my faith for your healing." The man said, he said, "Don't worry." He said, "Just lay your hands. It's division of labor." He said, "I will do the believing. You just do the laying up." I'm telling you, an Or a robot lay hands, the guy receive his healing. Am I communicating? Faith is very powerful. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. Do you know Jesus did not have it in his own schedule to heal that woman? It was Tabitha, Jairus' daughter, that they told Jesus about, that she was very sick, that Jesus should come and heal her. Jesus was on his journey to Jairus' daughter's house. Jairus, am I communicating? To minister to her. And then this woman came and interrupted the show and even delayed Jesus. And because of the delay, this person died, Jairus' daughter. You read the story. Jesus did not have her on his schedule that day, but she had Jesus on her own schedule. The Bible says she heard faith cometh by hearing. She heard how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. She heard, and then what she heard gave her faith, and then she came from behind. But before she took steps in the physical, she had said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." Not "I may," I shall. Is there a difference between "I may be healed" and "I shall be healed"? When you are in faith, you are sure. Faith is not probability. Faith is not guesswork. Faith is not even risk. Faith is a certainty. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of unseen realities, things unseen. That woman was in faith. He said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." That was her faith speaking. The faith in your heart, you release it with your words, and then you release it with your deeds, corresponding action. She spoke, and then she came from behind. And as weak as she, and feeble as she was, because she has been losing blood, issue of blood for 12 years, hemorrhage. We don't know whether it was uterine fibroid for 12 years, endometriosis. Oh yeah, give me more differentials. Holy Ghost doctors. Menstrual disorders, cancer, CA cervix, CA endometrium. What can be making somebody just be bleeding? Issue of blood like that. More. Adenomyosis. Oh yeah, now. Let's go. Hemorrhagic, all these hemophilias, what of all those hematological conditions that can cause bleeding like that for 12 solid years? And Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. In other words, the day they gave birth to Jairus' daughter that was sick, that they called Jesus to heal, was the day that this woman's problem began. She has spent all her living seeking for help. Spend it on physician. Physician, today they will give one diagnosis. Thank God for doctors. They are trying their best. But there are some cases that is beyond medicine. She had done all the investigations. She had done CT scan, MRI, which one again? Angiography. PET scan. Help me now. Those expensive investigations. You know, sickness can drain people's finances. There are some millionaires that have been reduced to even 100 years because of sickness. Some people have sold their cars, sold their house to service sickness. I'm telling you, they have become poor, rich people, because of sickness. This woman, the Bible says she spent her whole living on doctors. They keep, query adenomyosis, keep in view adenocarcinoma. Which one again? Do they add? To rule out endometriosis. Funny diagnosis, ba. You know, when you do medicine, you will laugh a lot. They will move stuff. After all the stuff, I remember one of my posting. Now I was doing gastroenterology as an house officer. They were moving stuff. Patient was gasping. They were moving stuff. I thought they will stop moving the stuff. Patient was gasping, oh, until my patient go. And the consultant say, "Is the patient still around? Is the patient still with us?" And you see, there's very little we can do. It was a case of decompensated chronic liver disease, with even PLCC, primary liver cell carcinoma, cancer of the liver. Terrible. You need the power of God, honestly, even as a doctor, to bring supernatural solution to certain sicknesses that defy all this systemic lupus erythematosus. Am I communicating? All those kind of funny sickness that don't have medical cure. Am I communicating? Cancers, leukemias, lymphomas, Hodgkin's lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Some of you are laughing. Our medical people can relate. Praise God. Faith it is. Hi. So the woman with the issue of blood, she connected in faith and collected her healing even without Jesus' permission. You see how powerful faith is. And Jesus did not rebuke her. He didn't condemn her. Rather, he what? Commended her faith. He said, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole." Because she came from behind the press. She came, and then the Bible says she pressed. She pressed away until she touched. And her own touch was the touch of faith. By the way, she was not the only one touching Jesus. There was a crowd of people touching Jesus. Peter said, "Master, you are asking." Because Jesus said, "Who touched me? I felt power left me." See, anytime there is a marriage between the anointing or God's power and faith, a miracle is born. I've taught you the equation for the miraculous before. The anointing or the power of God plus faith equals miraculous manifestation. Jesus carried the tangible healing anointing, healing power. The woman came with faith and the law of contact and transmission. The moment she made that contact, bam, it resulted in her healing. The Bible says she felt in her body She felt it. It was a tangible healing anointing. Jesus was aware of the departure. She was aware of the reception. There are laws that govern the flow of the anointing. In the physical, there are laws that govern the flow of current. It was John G. Lake that said, electricity is God's power in the natural realm. The anointing is God's power in the spiritual realm. If you understand the natural, it will be easy to understand the spiritual. Because in the natural, there are laws that govern the flow of current. True of us. The fact that your house is located close to Kanji Dam doesn't mean automatically you will have light in your house. No. Even though it is from Kanji Dam that electricity is being generated, there are laws that must be obeyed. Am I communicating? So you can be in an atmosphere where the power and the anointing is there, but if you don't understand this law, you don't know how to plunge in with your faith, you will wonder why the power is not benefiting you. Electricity doesn't flow through every object. We have the conductors. We have the what? Insulators. Even the conductor have weak conductors, strong ones. Abi? It's the same thing in the realm of the spirit. It's a similar principle. Glory to God. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus went to his own hometown, Nazareth, where he was brought up. And the Bible said there he could not do any spectacular miracles, except that he laid his hand upon few sick folk and they were healed. The Bible categorized those healing as minor miracles. Jesus did not see major miracles like he saw in Capernaum and other areas. And the Bible said Jesus marveled at their unbelief. That means in his hometown, Jesus ministered to people with blind eyes, deaf ears. He said, be healed, and they were not healed. And Jesus marveled at their unbelief. Am I communicating? The same anointing that has been healing people in other areas came to his own hometown, and then he met insulators. Am I communicating? Go back. Let me show you something. The Bible said there he could not. He could dare do no mighty work. He didn't say he will not. I want you to take note of that English. In other words, Jesus wanted to. He tried to. But it didn't work. Not because the anointing is not there. The problem is on the receiving end. Am I communicating? The law of faith was not obeyed. The law of honor was not obeyed. That's another law. We'll come to it. Why? Because of over-familiarity. Remember, that was where he grew up. Over-familiarity led to offense. They became even offended. How can you be offended in somebody that you are supposed to receive from? Eh? Some people are offended at their pastor and they are still coming to church. So as the pastor is preaching and moving rhema in their minds, he see him nose. See him mouth. You will not receive anything. the same person sent to bless you. You are already offended in the person. It will not work. Jesus could not do mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and healed them. Next verse. He marveled because of their unbelief. But look at what Jesus did. He went round about the village teaching. Do you know why he was teaching? To build their faith. He had to teach to build their faith. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so that they can receive better. Am I communicating? See, there is the giving end, then there is the receiving end. There are two things involved for miracle to happen. God will anoint his vessel, okay, and send him to bless people. But the people have to play their own part by connecting in faith to whatever grace and the anointing that is upon the receiver. Sorry, the giver, the giving vessel. Am I communicating?
It's a powerful principle.
Unbelief is like an insulator. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. Unbelief will block the flow of the anointing. Doubt will block the flow of the anointing. Glory to God.
It's a powerful principle.
Look at Acts chapter. Okay. Before then, let me show you something. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And Jesus, he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. This was in Bethsaida. And besought him to touch him. Glory to God. And he took the blind man by the hand. Watch how. Now, when you study the miracle ministry of Jesus, I want you to study how Jesus ministered to people. Look at how he ministered to this blind man. I want you to watch how he ministered to this blind man in Bethsaida, in the city of Bethsaida. He took him by the hand and led him out of the town. What? Just imagine somebody came for MHIS and then I said, I want to minister to the person. I held the person by the hand and took him as we enter motor. Say, let's drive out of just town. When people say, you know that? Jesus took him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he laid hands on him, he asked him if he saw aught. Next verse. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Next verse, verse 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. Now, this was the only person in the Bible, in fact, in the whole of Jesus' earthly ministry, of all the sick people that he ministered to, this is the only time that we read that Jesus laid hands on the same person twice to receive healing. Twice. When he laid hands the first time, the healing have started, but it has not been perfected. He laid hands the second time, then everything was perfected. Now ask yourself, why did Jesus lead him out of the town of Bethsaida before Jesus could minister to him? I studied and I realized that Bethsaida was notorious for unbelief. When Jesus was dashing woes to certain cities, he said, woe unto this one, woe unto Bethsaida. I noticed Bethsaida was one of those cities. He said, woe unto Bethsaida because of your unbelief. So, unbelief can be environmental. Yes, it can be citywide. The city was notorious for unbelief. That was why Jesus took him out. Sometimes people need a change of environment before you can minister to them. Am I communicating? You need to understand the dynamics of these things. Atmospheres matter. There are some people that cannot receive in certain kind of atmosphere. You will need to change that atmosphere. The unbelief that was in the city entered him to the point that Jesus needed to even minister to him twice. You don't know, whatever is prevalent in a territory, if you are not careful, it has a way of affecting you too. The unbelief that was in that characterized the city of Bethsaida has entered the man. That was why Jesus needed to take him out, then minister to him twice. Am I communicating? That's why you see some healing ministers, they have what we call healing schools. The pioneer of healing school is who? Among the God's general, the healing generals. John G. Lake in Spokane, he has healing rooms. He called it healing rooms. That he has technicians that are trained. He will prescribe, he will first find out, after diagnosing your condition, he will now prescribe adequate scriptures. So the technicians will be feeding you to build your faith with those scriptures, and then he will now come and minister to you. Sometimes they are the one to even minister to you, and then you get healed and go. So today it has evolved. You know, you see some ministries having healing school.
Now, healing school records more results in terms of number of people healed and number of people that retained their healing long after they are healed. The reason is because in those healing schools, they take time to build people's faith by teaching them God's word. Because you need faith to receive your healing, you need faith to retain it. Okay? That's why healing school, in a sense, is better than healing crusade. In the crusade, you just come and receive. But if you've not built your faith and you don't know how to retain it, afterwards, there's what we call secondary attack. Sometimes Satan can attack people after leaving that crusade ground, and some will lose their healing, except they've been taught how to retain it by faith. Am I communicating? Because we've seen cases like that. People got healed, but they later lost their healing. That's why we also encourage people to keep coming to church. Keep coming. Don't just receive healing and disappear. Keep coming, because you need the teaching of God's word to build your faith. The same way you receive the healing, you will retain it. Am I communicating? There are sometimes then the enemies of the church will now say, is it not this person that they say was healed in this crusade? Is it not this person? How come the person is still sick? All those stage managed miracle na fake, is a lie. The person was genuinely healed, but Satan attacked the person afterwards. And because the person has not built their faith to fight the good fight of faith to retain their healing, they lost it following that secondary attack. Jesus talked about it. He said, when an unclean spirit leaves a man, he walks around in dry place seeking rest, and if he cannot find any, because demons are intelligent beings, they will now say to themselves, he said, the unclean spirit will say, I will return to my former house. What is his former house? The body of the person that he was living in. And then the problem is that he won't even go alone. He will now carry several more wicked demons that are, you know, demons have different degree of wickedness. I say demons have different degree of wickedness. He's now going not alone with seven other demons more wicked than himself. So there are now how many? 8. And now he now returned to his former house. It was clean and empty. No word. Empty. No fire. Empty. No revelation. Empty. No faith. Am I communicating? Then he now enters. And then Jesus said, the condition of the man now is worse than before. Are you seeing something? You need to understand these things. Benin talked about a woman that got healed of a terminal cancer in his meeting. But the woman went back to her church that don't believe in healing. You know, there are churches that don't believe in divine healing. Some even believe that sickness is a gift from God. Meanwhile, the Bible says every good and perfect gift is from above. Is sickness a good gift? Is it a perfect gift? But there are churches that believe Komi Allah ne, everything. So if I slap you now, is it Allah? By carrying knife and stab somebody now, is it Allah? Is it God that did it? You understand? Religion. So the woman went back to her church. So people started questioning her. Are you sure you are healed? Are you sure? And the messages of unbelief. Oh, you know, there are some messages that feed you with condemnation, unbelief, and all of that. At the end, your faith level drops. You better stop listening to those kind of messages. They will kill your faith. And that was it. The woman lost her healing following a secondary attack, and her condition became terrible until she died. I heard Benin share this story. When people hear God's word, their faith should be built. What does Romans 10:17 says? So then, faith cometh by hearing. You know, some people are funny. They like hearing messages of condemnation. Those messages that flog them. Flog them with condemnation. You as you are like this. You think God like your face? You see them doing that is their own rema. Paul talked about the word of faith which we preach. The word of God should produce faith in people, not fear. Throw away any message that is feeding you with fear, feeding you with all condemnation, unbelief. By the time you are done listening to those messages, you will start to run away from God. You understand? It will kill your faith. So be very selective. Praise God. I say praise God. You can't grow your faith on all those kind of messages. No. John 11:40. Jesus told Martha. He says, did I not tell you that if you believe, you shall what? See the glory of God. Faith will activate the manifestation of God's glory. And we saw it when Lazarus was raised back to life. In Matthew 9:27, very interesting story. Look at how Jesus ministered to these two blind men. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Next verse. And when he was come into the house, see, when you read, think, two blind men were following Jesus. Son of David, have mercy upon us. Jesus did not answer them. He kept walking. Until when Jesus got to his house. That's what this verse is saying. And when Jesus came into the house, the blind men came to him. Then Jesus said unto them, believe that I am able to do this. In other words, do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe? Am I communicating? They said unto him, yeah, Lord. Next verse. And then touch ye their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. It's a fundamental law. He didn't say according to my anointing. He didn't say according to the power I carry. He said according to your faith. Because listen, it is with your faith that you plunge into the pool of God's miraculous power to receive your miracle. It is by faith. By faith. Faith switches the power of God into manifestation. Tell your neighbor, keep the switch of faith on, and you will see the manifestation of the supernatural. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believe. Matthew 17:20. It says, if you have faith as small, it says, Jesus said, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that demon from that lunatic? He said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And look at that last part. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. And no. Some of you are chopping mouth. Are you ready now? 1, 2, 3, go. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Think of it. Faith is your express ticket to a world of impossibilities. You can do the impossible cheaply. He said, nothing shall be impossible unto you when you release your faith. He said, if ye have faith, because they did not have faith then. But we, the new creation, were born with the measure of faith installed. So our own job is actually to grow our faith and to release our faith. It's not that we don't have faith. We must be taught how to unleash our faith. He said, when you release your faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. I say, all things are possible to him that believeth. Say, all things are possible unto me, the believer in Christ. Faith empowers you to walk in the supernatural. Bishop Oyedepo said, in the school of the supernatural, faith is a major. It's not an elective course. It's a major course. And your faith is proved by what? Your corresponding actions, your words and deeds in obedience. You see that in James 2:14-26. The next law I want to talk about is the law of honor. The next law that trigger, provoke the supernatural that control the supernatural is a spiritual law, is a law of honor. The law of honor. 1 Peter 2:17. He says, honor all men. Honor for God and honor for men. The law of honor. Honor for God and honor for what? Men. Honor for God and honor for men. Jesus in his hometown, he could not perform mighty works because of dishonor. The people dishonored what he carried. And dishonor is padlock. It's like padlock. Honor is like the key to access. You can access any grace to walk in the supernatural. You can access the grace and the anointing to walk in the supernatural through the law of honor. The grace you honor, you attract. Everything you dishonor will be repelled from your life. You will be denied access to them. Am I coming? Anything you attack, you will lack. I say any grace you attack, you will lack. Honor is the key to access. Honor is key. Dishonor is padlock. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor for God and honor for men. There are people that carry what you need. Honor them. Am I communicating? Anytime I see people that carry graces that I admire, I honor them. If I, as a rule, serve you, honor all men. Never look down on anybody. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The person begging you transport today can become a multi-billionaire tomorrow. Honor all men. Don't conclude on their life based on their past or present. You are not their God. You don't know their future. Honor all men. Am I communicating? Honor all men. Shabalaka sagadai. There are some of you that you are receiving welfare today from the ministry, but tomorrow you will build those churches. You will sponsor HMI crusades in the future. Honor all men. I say honor all men. Kelabakasaya. You may be giving somebody leave today, but tomorrow the person will be flying private jet and may give you his private jet to travel here and there. So honor all men. Don't conclude on anybody. There is more to people than meet the eyes. Hallelujah. Then Hebrews 7:7 is a powerful law. It's a powerful law. One of Satan's strategy for destroying this generation is through dishonor. There is this growing dishonor. It's as if it's like a spirit. You see people talking against ministers, talking boldly, especially this era of social media. Facebook pundits, you know, just because people have small data, they will come online abusing fathers of the faith. Hi! Mandege bagadaga bagada. He said, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Give me verse 6. Let's read from verse 6 into 7. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Abraham had the promises direct from God. God told him, I will make, leave your father's house to a land, I will show you, I will make your name great, I will bless you, you shall be a blessing. But he needed a Melchizedek, a king priest. He needed Melchizedek to activate that blessing into manifestation. Am I communicating? He needed to receive impartation from Melchizedek. He said Melchizedek blessed Abraham that had the promises. You can be seeing visions and revelation of yourself healing the sick, moving in the supernatural. But listen, you need to connect to the men God has placed over you, the helpers of your destiny, to bring you into that dimension for you to start seeing manifestation. Am I communicating? And then verse 7, it says, beyond all contradiction, you can't break this law. It says, the less is blessed of the better. Am I communicating? The anointing does not flow sideways. The anointing does not flow uphill. The anointing only flows in one direction, from the top to the bottom, downhill. So one person must agree to be the less. Am I communicating? Then the other person, the greater, for it to flow. It's a principle. It's a principle. Pride and arrogance will rob you big time. They are caretakers of your destiny. The law of honor. Munde gebala kidas. Powerful principle. You can assess the grace for the supernatural that is upon careers through this law of honor. Honor them from the depth of your heart. Honor them with your words. Honor them with your action. Honor them with your substance. There is no grace you are looking for that is not available in the body of Christ. All you need is discernment and then honor. Am I communicating? Before GICC last year, while I was preparing, I was watching Holy Ghost Convention back, Pastor E. Adebo Redeem. I was watching him, and then I saw how this man was just flowing in word of knowledge like water. He will be preaching, and then word of knowledge will interrupt his preaching. And then in my heart, I say, God, I honor this grace. I say, Lord, I like this. You know, I move in word of knowledge too, but it's not that frequent like this. And then I prayed. I connected to that grace. And when I started ministering in word of knowledge, I was seeing some in GICC. As I ministered in GICC last year, word of knowledge were just coming like water. The thing was just pouring. To the point that after day two, Reverend Gumwok's wife, Pastor Elizabeth Gumwok, because they streamed the service, they followed online, you know, she called my wife. And she was talking about the meeting, that they watched part of it, that is a pastor was just moving in word of knowledge. There's so much word of knowledge. But where did I receive that impartation of grace? It was from Pastor E. Adeboye. Just by connecting with the heart of honor. Somebody say honor. Powerful. The next law, number what now? Number 7, submission and obedience. Submission and obedience. Obedience, submission and obedience to God and spiritual authority. Submission in humility. Obedience to God and spiritual authority. Hallelujah. Give me Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5. Look at Jesus. He said, wherefore when he cometh, when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. That's animal sacrifice that they had in the Old Testament. He said, that's not what God wanted. He said, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Next verse. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Next verse. He says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Submission of your will. Jesus did not come to do his own will. He had his own free will, but he willingly laid down his will and chose to do God's will, to obey God's will. Am I communicating? It's a powerful law. It's a powerful law. You will hear people like Catherine Kuhlman say, I died so many deaths. She will tell you that I knew the point I died to myself, to my own ambitions, to my own will. I knew the point, I knew the place, I knew the time. That she is talking about the law of submission. Am I communicating? Submission. Are you willing to submit to God's will? Are you willing to die to self? Are you willing to die to your own will and choose to do the will of the Father? Jesus said, "Lo, I have come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do your will, not my own." You see, when God sees people like that, He anoints them. Am I communicating? You move in the supernatural. Obedience. John 2:5. Whatever He tells you, do it. Whatever He tells you, do it. You know, it is one thing to confess the Lordship of Christ to be born again, but it is a different thing for you to live your life fully submitted to the Lordship of Christ after getting saved. A lot of Christians confess the Lordship of Christ to be born again, but now that they are born again, now that you are born again, the real question is, are you living your life submitted to His Lordship? The word Lord means master. The word Lord means controller. The word Lord means one to whom you submit your will to. You don't have a will of your own. You are a servant to that person. Am I communicating? Paul called himself a bond servant of Christ, a love slave. That word means love slave. Am I communicating? And the proof that you love Him is obedience. You'll be a doer of His will. You must be yielded. You must be yielded. Submission requires humility. Submission requires meekness. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. 1 Peter 5 verse 5. Munda baladia. It says, likewise ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Ye, all of you, be subject one to another. And be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisted the proud. He giveth grace to what? The humble. Pride is a killer of grace. Anytime anybody walks in pride, it's not Satan. If God Himself will resist you, He will oppose you. Because you remind Him of Satan. What made Satan to lose his place in heaven? Pride. So anytime anybody walks in pride, it reminds God of Lucifer. And God Himself will be the one to oppose you. What? Not Satan, no. Imagine, if God is the one opposing you, who can help you? Tell your neighbor, be humble. Don't be puffed up. You are not puff. It is one thing to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, but it is another thing for Him to have you. Does He have you? Are you submitted to His will? Are you yielded to Him in obedience? Some Christians are stubborn. They are still children of God, but they are very stubborn. Even God will tell you that, he's my son, but he's stubborn. You know they hear. May you not be like that. Am I communicating? You don't yield, you don't submit, you don't listen, you don't obey. You can't walk in the supernatural that way. Am I communicating? Obedience to divine instruction will provoke supernatural manifestation. When you are yielded and fully submitted, surrendered to God and to His Spirit, and you obey His instruction, you walk in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Then verse 6, 1 Peter 5 verse 6. Move to the next verse. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And who knows due time? Only God. It's God alone that knows the due time. Your job is to stay submitted under His mighty hand until your due time of exaltation comes. It will lead to promotion. Submission in humility will lead to exaltation, promotion, elevation. Am I communicating? James chapter 4 verse 6. Say, I receive grace for obedience. I receive grace to be submitted to God's will. and to authority, spiritual authority. He said, but he giveth more grace, James 4:6. Wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. God cannot trust you with authority and the anointing and power to walk in the supernatural if you are not submitted to his will. Am I communicating? Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he said he will flee. Are you seeing something there? Do you know that even the angels, they obey your own authority, they obey your command as you remain submitted to spiritual authority? If you are the type that you don't obey your pastor, you don't obey your leader, you are not submitted to the authority, they give you instruction, you don't obey, you are not submitted, you are disobedient, you are stubborn. Let me tell you the truth. It will be difficult for you to walk and operate in the supernatural. Because even when you command, angels will not obey you. Not because they are not supposed to obey you, but because you are living in disobedience. You yourself, you are not submitted to spiritual authority. Are you seeing something? They obey your authority as you are submitted to the authority of the one above you. Am I communicating? It's the same thing in marriage. It's the same thing. The man is the head of the home. The husband is the head. So the wife is as powerful as the degree to which she is submitted to the authority of her husband. The angels obey her more as she submits to the authority of her husband. Am I communicating? But the wife that is not submissive to the authority of her husband, it will be difficult for her to function in her own God-given authority. It's a principle. That's why the Bible says you should obey constituted authority. Am I communicating? Say, I receive grace for submission and obedience. The next law that triggered the supernatural is service, heartfelt service, service. Psalm 89 verse 20, service. The grace and anointing for the supernatural that will last and stand the test of time. It comes through service. It will come through service. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I what? Anointed him. Are you seeing that? I have found David my servant. The key word there is what? Servant. Service with a heart of servanthood. Service with a heart of what? Servanthood. You know, there are those that are serving, but with a heart of master. In their heart, they are the master. They are kneeling down for the person they are serving, but in their heart, they are standing and they are knocking his head. So it's not enough to serve. You must serve with the right attitude of your heart. Am I communicating? With the right motive. You must serve with the right motive. With purity of motive, with the right heart. This is a kind of service that provokes the flow of the grace and the anointing to function in the supernatural. You understand? I have found David myself. God does not anoint masters, he anoints servants. If you are too big to serve, you are too small for God to anoint or use for anything special. Am I communicating? I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him. And then be spirit led in your place of service. Glory to God. Very powerful. David was taking care of his father's sheep. Even though he was the last born, he didn't complain. He didn't complain. God was watching him. How faithful he was, taking care of his father's sheep. Few sheep. He provided for them, he fed them, He gave them food and water. He led them through the green pasture. In fact, he defended them. When the lion and the bear came and carried one of the lamb, he risked his life. He was a good shepherd. Jesus said, a good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. He was ready to risk his life for the sheep, for the sake of lamb, common lamb. Lion came and carried. David went after the lion, collected, rescued the lamb from the mouth of the lion. And when the lion got angry, he said, you don't carry my food. You go become food. He said, he caught the lion by the beard. He fought a lion just because of a lamb. That's to tell the heart of love he has for the sheep. Let your service be motivated by love and compassion for God. Love for God and love for the people you are serving. In service, don't look for what to get or what to grab. Look for what to give. How you can be a blessing. Am I communicating? I have found David my servant. Can you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16, after Saul disappointed God, he disobeyed God's command to destroy the Amalekite. He went and speared the king and speared the best of everything. God said, because you have rejected my word, I've rejected you. Prophet Samuel was mourning the rejection of Saul from being king over Israel. God said, how long will you mourn? He said, fill your horn with oil. He said, go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be his replacement, to be the next king. And then in 1 Samuel 16 verse 6, he came. Let's find out this drama. Watch this. And it came to pass when they were come, that Prophet Samuel, he looked on Eliab. Eliab was the firstborn. And said, surely. He didn't say maybe. He said surely. In other words, he has concluded. Surely that the Lord's anointed is before him. Then God needed to help the man of God. Next verse. This is a prophet. The Bible says none of his words fell to the ground. If God had not helped him, this one would have fallen to the ground. Okay? Timely correction. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. He had the physical physique that fits kingship. He said, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So you must serve with the right attitude of your heart. Next verse. He said, then Jesse called Abinadab, secondborn, and made him pass before Samuel. And he, Samuel, said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Next. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Shammah is the third born. Next. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord had not chosen this. Next verse. And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. He said, there remaineth yet the youngest. You know, Bible scholars, they argue that for Jesse, their father, to leave David out of the possible options of his children, as in which one we should be choosing, for him not to even remember David, they said it's possible David was not a legitimate son of Jesse, as in maybe Jesse impregnated one woman somewhere that is not legally married to, and that was how David came. David played a way match. Sorry, Jesse played a way match and resulted into David. And then there is a scripture in Psalm where David even corroborated that. He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So, Prophet Samuel said, bring all your children. God wants to choose one. And then he brought all the legitimate children. He forgot David. Now that he has presented all of them, and the prophet said, the first one, he said, the Lord has refused or rejected Eliab. from Abinadab to the last one presented, he said, God has not chosen any of this. Then he now remembered, not true. He get one way the bush, taking care of the few sheep. The one that was serving, these ones were too big to serve. The anointing for the supernatural locates you in the place of service. Stay in your service station. I say, stay in your service station. I say, stay in your service station. God uses people that know how to serve. I told you, God doesn't use lazy people. All the people he chose, they were busy doing something. Be busy serving. And then he said, there remained here the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not wait till he come. Next verse. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy, withal of a beautiful countenance, godly to look to. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And then next verse. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So David rose up and went to Ramah. I want you to note that it was David that was involved in service, taking care of his father's sheep. Any assignment, responsibility given to you by your leader, don't complain, do it. If, you see, it may look foolish. It may look as if pastor is using you. Let him use you. God likes it like that, when you are used. And this person is not doing anything. It's only me that is doing all the work. Only me. Don't worry. David was like that too. Am I communicating? David was like that too. Allow God use you. The first person was Eliab. Give me that verse. Where God, verse 7 or 8, it says, I have refused him. Or it ran, NIV say, I have rejected him. I have rejected him. Verse 7. Give me NIV. Do you know, firstborn are God's most preferred choices. So that means, you notice God used that statement, I have refused or rejected him. He didn't say, I have not chosen this. From number 2 to number 7, how many sons did Jesse bring out? Is it 8? 7. Okay, number 2 to number 7, what did God say when their father Jesse presented them before Prophet Samuel? He said, I have not chosen. But for the first one, did you notice God did not say, I have not chosen? He used this interesting word. He said, I have refused or rejected him. That means God considered him for that position initially. It was God's first choice. David was not God's first choice. God considered Eliab because he was the firstborn. Am I communicating? It was God's number one preference. But when God scanned through his heart, when God looked at his heart, the state of his heart was not right. He was disqualified. That was why God said, I have refused him. And then the thing now jumped to the youngest, last born. So it matters the state of your heart. Serve with the right heart, heart of love, heart of humility, purity of motive. Am I communicating? Heart of honor, heart of meekness. Moses was the meekest man, and he was the most anointed man according to the Jews, apart from Jesus. Praise God. In Acts chapter 8, verse 21. Can you remember what Peter told Elimas the sorcerer that thought he could make merchandise of the anointing? Elimas the sorcerer, when he saw that through the laying on of hands of Apostle Peter and John, that the people received the Holy Ghost, he wanted to bribe them with money. He wanted to bribe them. He said, give me this power. Remember, he's coming from somewhere that is used to power. He's a magician. He bewitched the people of Samaria with his magic. It's just that he saw somebody with a greater power. When Philip came and did crusade, he said, chai, this power high past my own. So when they were making altar call, him too, he joined. The guy was on a mission. Anything I must do to get this power, I must do. So when they say with me, Lord Jesus, you know, it's not everybody that is saying that prayer that is actually they are fake people like that. Am I communicating? He was a fake convert, because Bible scholars tell us that this same Simon Magnus, the sorcerer, he later went on to pioneer this sect in Christianity, the Gnostic. Have you heard of Gnosticism? You go and Google Gnosticism. He was the one that started that, you know, that the early church later needed to battle. Gnosticism. He was the father that started this movement that became a problem for the early church. Am I communicating? Peter rebuked him. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Until your heart is right in the sight of God, you don't have any part. You have neither part nor lot in the anointing matter for walking in the supernatural. Praise God. So you serve with the right attitude of your heart. Do you know Elisha, his credential? They called him the man that poured water on the hands of Elijah. 2 Kings 3:11. 2 Kings 3:11. He knew the importance of service. I taught you that the mantle fell on him twice. The first time the mantle fell on him, after God instructed Prophet Elijah to anoint 3 people, including Elisha, to be prophet in his room or in his stead. The Bible says he was passing, and Elisha was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen, and he was with the 12th. That's mechanized agriculture. Those days, it's only wealthy people that have 12 yokes of oxen. So his father was rich, was wealthy, was a farmer. But the moment Elisha passed by him and threw his mantle on him, he knew the meaning. He left his father's thriving business. The 12th yoke of oxen, he slaughtered that one, did pepper soup, dismantled the other distance, used the wood part, and celebrated the beginning of his ministry. And what was that ministry? Service. Service to Prophet Elisha. Pouring water on his hands. I say 2 Kings 3:11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha the son of Shaphat, which poured water. Somebody say service. Don't be too big to serve. On the hands of Elijah, the anointing you serve with the right heart, you inherit. The anointing is an inheritance for sons. Sons don't beg for their father's inheritance. Am I communicating? The reason why some people serve but they don't receive anything is because they don't serve with the right heart. That's why I say serve with the right heart. You must receive. Praise God. Don't do eye service, do heart service. I say don't do eye service, do heart service. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Some people only serve under supervision. The moment their leader or pastor is not there, they become something else. You are doing eye service. I say you are doing eye service. God doesn't want eye service. He wants what? Heart service. 2 Kings 2:14. Through service, Elisha received double portion. The second time the mantle fell on him, that's like after 13 years of unbroken service, when Elijah was being carried up. He said, my father, go back to verse 13. He had told him earlier that if you see me when I'm carried, Elisha saw it and cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." He saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. My guy was practicing. Double. Is it not double portion he wanted? He used his clothes. Next verse. "And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan." Let me ask you a question. What was the last miracle Elijah performed? Prophet Elijah, what was his last miracle? Parting Jordan. Did you see that the last miracle of Prophet Elijah became the first miracle of Prophet Elisha? Why? Somebody say service. Theologians will tell you Elisha did exactly times two, twice the miracles that Elijah did, through service. The anointing is amplified. You even do greater things. The anointing becomes stronger through service. "He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, went back to Jordan, stood by the bank of Jordan." Next verse. "And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither." And Elisha went over. Next verse. "And when the sons of the prophet, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." In other words, they recognized his authority as the number one prophet in Israel. And that's actually the meaning of that double portion. It means the right of the firstborn. The other prophets too were prophetic, but they don't have this authority that Elisha has in the realm of the spirit. Am I communicating? Because Elijah was a territorial prophet over Israel and Syria. In the realm of the spirit, they were his jurisdiction. And Elisha just received it. Am I communicating? Somebody say service. In Acts chapter 4 verse 13, they looked at Peter and John and they were surprised at the level of their boldness. But they remembered that they had been with Jesus. Through service, 12 disciples became 12 apostles. I said through service, 12 disciples became 12 apostles. After serving Jesus for 3 years, 3.5 years, they metamorphosed. You are made in the place of service. Jesus told them earlier, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned or uneducated and ignorant men — the ignorant there is not in spiritual matters, it's talking of in terms of secular education — they marveled and they took knowledge of them. What was their CV? That they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. They were his disciples. They served him. They were intimate with him. Verse 14. "And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Now, Peter is performing the kind of miracle Jesus performed when he was on earth. That grace was transmitted to them through service. Am I communicating? They are now working miracles like their master did. Glory to God. The next one is consecration. You must walk in the supernatural in this season. Oh, see, I'm giving you all the laws. Consecration. Romans 12:1, it says, "I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God," he's writing to believers, "that you present your body a" what? "Living sacrifice, holy and" what? "Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You present your body a living sacrifice. Consecration. The law of consecration. Sanctification. It means to set apart yourself for God's sacred use. It means to set yourself apart for God's divine or sacred use. It is a twofold separation. On one end is separation from the world, the contaminating influence of the world, sin, sinful things, distractions, worldliness. You separate yourself from them, then you now separate yourself unto God on the other end. Am I communicating? You've got to separate yourself. Monde killa batiza. You can't be doing everything the people of the world are doing and expect to walk in the supernatural. It doesn't work like that. Can't be watching movie 24/7, 6 hours. Am I communicating? You can't just be living in sin and expect to flow in the anointing for the supernatural consistently. It doesn't work. Consecration. You must separate yourself from worldliness, from the contaminating influence of this sinful world. You must separate yourself from sin, and then you separate yourself unto God. Am I communicating? You separate yourself to the things of God, to the word of God, to prayer, to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. It says Jesus was raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God with power. Jesus was declared to be with the Son of God with power according to the spirit of what? Holiness. Holiness is not deeper life doctrine. It is Bible doctrine. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's why he's called Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in his power, holiness is very important. Consecration. In Joshua chapter 3 verse 5, Joshua told the people, sanctify yourself, consecrate yourself today and tomorrow. He says, consecrate. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Why did he tell them to sanctify themselves before the Lord does wonders? Because it's one of the laws. Am I communicating? God cannot anoint you beyond your level of consecration. Do you know that? Look. Sometimes for you to increase, for look at this building. There is a particular voltage that everything here is wired to carry, right? For instance, if you increase the voltage, like let's say times 5 or times 10 of the one that this building can carry normally, what do you think will happen? Talk to me. What will happen? These bulbs will start blowing. Some of our equipment will start blowing. This mic will blow up itself. Am I communicating? Why? Because it's not wired to carry that kind of voltage. Sometimes people are asking God for more anointing. God is looking at their level of consecration. You see, if I release that level of power you are asking for, you will die. Praise God. So God not even answering them is an answered prayer. God is saying, if you want more, then increase your level of consecration. So if you want the voltage increase that large, then we need to rewire this building to be able to carry it. Am I communicating? It will demand more consecration on your own part. Shabalatia. Zebrende kepaladia. Me and my wife, I was listening to Dosin Oyekon. This is latest song, glory song. Kai! The moment I started playing that song, the kind of presence and power I felt, I say, what? I say, this guy carries something. Ah, yeah. Am I communicating? There are different kind of singers. You know, there are people that sing. After singing, people will clap for them. Say, let's appreciate our brother, appreciate our sister. Then there are those that when they carry mic and they lead worship, everybody is on the ground. presence and power.
What is the difference? The level of consecration is not the same. So the level of flow of the unction is not the same. Somebody say you are preparing to minister a song, and you are busy gossiping everywhere, busybody everywhere. You are even watching movies. You understand? Prayer, you know, pray. This one, you know, pray. If I tell you the story of Dosun Oyekon, when he came to submit to Dr. Paul Enenche, Dr. Paul Enenche, the first assignment he gave him is that he should go on one year fast. Dr. Paul asked him, do you want to go global? He said, yes. You want your ministry. I know you are called. You want to break forth everywhere. He said, go on 1 year fast. He obeyed. I'm telling you, he obeyed. Before then, he had been through a lot. He even lost his wife. He had been through a lot before then. But he obeyed. Prayer and fasting for 1 year. When the guy was done, he started singing. Hey! Does he even have sweet voice? It's the anointing that makes your voice sweet too. I'm telling you, it's the anointing that makes your voice sweet. When you hear him sing, you know that this guy is not just singing. Glory to God. Somebody say consecration. 2 Chronicles 5:11. Look at this. I love this. You know, most of the times, we'll just read verse 13, just like I read earlier. But there's something before verse 13. This caught my attention. He said, it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, look at that, what is in bracket. Help me, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. For all the priests that were present were sanctified. Somebody say consecration. And then verse 13, when they sang, the glory of God was manifested. Why will we not see manifestation of God's glory much? People sing today, nothing. Consecration is lacking. Huh? You see choir members coming from their boyfriend's bed of fornication. From there, in fact, them and their boyfriend will come to church. And then when it is time for choir ministration, she is the one leading the song. And the boyfriend is watching her and smiling. That's my girl. The one that they fornicated. You see why there is no power? Which kind of madness are we seeing today? Eh? You people, you don't want me to preach. Oh, I shouldn't say it. 2 Corinthians 7:1. He says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and what? Spirit. Clean up. Perfecting holiness in what? The fear of the Lord. The body is not for fornication. The body is for the Lord. It's not for fornication. Am I communicating? You know, today Satan is if I, even business world, advert, marketing and all of that, they use sex to sell their product. We live in a highly sexualized world today. You understand? Spirit of lust everywhere in the air. Social media, everywhere you turn. Sometimes you are just browsing. Before you know, you just see one mommy water spirit. You just jump, advert. Without your permission, no. They say, hello, single man, if you want to catch up with us. Hey, mommy water spirit everywhere. And some of you are chatting with them. They will soon give you your haircut. Remember what Delilah did to Samson. Praise God. Consecration. Is that not how they barbed Samson's lock? He was a Nazarite. And that was a symbol of his own consecration. One of the instructions that the angel of the Lord gave his parents is that they should never barb his hair. That is where his power lies. But
Delilah. Delilah gave him his haircut, and he thought the power was still there. He said, I will just get up and shake myself like as I've always done. But this time around, he shook himself. They came and bundled him. The Philistine. Anointed man of God became pepper grinder. He was grinding pepper for them. And then, oh, say, I receive grace for consecration. I receive grace for consecration. Then next is sacrifice and sacrifice, the law of sacrifice. Listen, the anointing comes on the wings of sacrifice. Psalm 50 verse 5. Sacrifice of self and sacrifice of your substance. The anointing comes on the wings of sacrifice. He said, gather my saints together unto me, those that have what? Made a covenant with me by what? By sacrifice. Gather my saints unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. There are certain men, by reason of their sacrifice, they have caught a covenant with God, a personal covenant. God have sworn that as long as it is in this area, this person will always walk in the supernatural. Am I communicating? Sacrifice. Sacrifice is the language of the spirit realm. Psalm 34 verse 18. Okay, before then, Psalm 51 verse 17. The law of sacrifice. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Brokenness and contriteness. Very powerful. David was a man that understood this secret. He wrote the book of Psalms. A broken and a contrite heart, God will never despise. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. That's why I say sacrifice of self, even before sacrifice of your substance. Psalms chapter 34 verse 18. The law of sacrifice. You must lay down your life on that altar. You must become the first sacrifice that you put before God. Men like Pastor Iye Adeboye, he said when God called him, you know, his ambition was to be the first professor in Africa. He said that was his own personal ambition. He was a mathematician. He had PhD in hydrodynamics or so. Forgotten. He has PhD, but his BSc and Masters was in mathematics. He said, then God now called him to ministry. Initially, he was the interpreter of the founder of Redeemed Christian Church, Pakindayomi. Pakindayomi was uneducated. He didn't go to secular school, okay? But he was a spiritually literate man. He was secularly illiterate, but spiritually he was literate. And God had told him that this would be the person to take over from you. So he started serving as what? Interpreter. He started serving as his interpreter. He said, there was one day, after Pakindayomi had gone home to be with the Lord, he was now in charge of Redeem. He was ordained the presiding general overseer. He said things were very tough for them financially. The monies were not coming in. Both ministry funds and his own personal fund. See, there were days that him and his wife, no food. And then he was looking at his certificate. I have master's. You understand? He said, as a lecturer, he said his salary as a lecturer is more than the annual salary of the whole Redeemed Church. Then, as at then. And then, he was almost tempted
to go back to his lecturing work because of the financial challenge. But he said God helped him. God helped him. And then he now made up his mind to consecrate himself fully to the work. He consecrated himself fully to the work. He dedicated himself. He let go of that. In fact, he tore the certificate. Don't do it, oh. If God called you, don't do it. Even me, I still have my MBBS. But I will not go back to it, sha. I just kept it. I'll go and give my father. You understand? Him, he tore his own. As in, I have crossed the bridge, no going back. No temptation, no matter what. Am I communicating? I'm not going back. Somebody say sacrifice. The anointing comes on the wing of sacrifice. When God tells you to do something, you know, sometimes with our own mind, we'll just be calculating, thinking, how will I survive? All of that. You understand? I remember when God told me to go full time. I say, God, I beg, carry chair, sit down. Me and you talk. Let us reason together. Is that not what the Bible says? Praise God. But thank God I obeyed. Praise God. Obedience may be costly, but the end result is priceless. In fact, there are certain level of grace and the anointing you will not enter until you obey God. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saved such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm Isaiah. Now give me Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15. We need to round up. Isaiah 57 verse 15. Somebody say sacrifice. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. The one that is humble and contrite, we enjoy the manifestation of God's presence. It becomes a career of his supernatural presence and power. I say sacrifice of self and then sacrifice of your substance. There are times that God will lead you to give, and not just give, but give sacrificially. Am I communicating? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I like the way that the churches in Macedonia gave. They first gave themselves to God. I think verse 5. 2 Corinthians 8, 5. Watch this. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves. Sacrifice of yourself. They gave their self first to the Lord. They submitted to his lordship. That's what that scripture is saying. When you understand that all that you have belongs to God, you are not the real owner. You are only a caretaker. So when the real owner asks for it, you cannot say no. You yield in obedience. They gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You now see why it's easy for them to give of their substance, their resources, their money, because they've already given themselves to God. Hallelujah. Giving is a major secret of grace. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. He said, this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Next verse, it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God love a cheerful giver. Verse 8. And then God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficient in all things may abound unto every good work. You see, God is able to make all grace, including grace for the supernatural, all grace, including grace for the miraculous, abound towards the giver. Sacrifice of your substance. sacrificial giving, it shifts you to another dimension. Honestly, most of the time, whenever God wants to promote you, sometimes he will demand that you give a sacrifice. Am I communicating? In Philippians 1 verse 7, Apostle Paul said, the whole church in Philippi, they are all partakers of his grace. How did they become partakers of his grace? Through sacrifice. Somebody say, through sacrifice. Their partnership. They were his partners. In Philippians 4, 15 to 19, you will see how they gave once and again to Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul called it a sacrifice. He calls their giving a sacrifice. Go to verse 18. Philippians 4:18. It says, but I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. He said, those things they sent, a sacrifice acceptable. He calls it a sacrifice. He calls their giving a sacrifice acceptable to God. Am I communicating? And by so doing, Philippians 1:7, they became partakers of his grace. That means if Apostle Paul walked in the supernatural, they too walked in the supernatural. Am I communicating? There are some miracles God does for us because of our partnership. Partnership miracles. In Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 8, that miraculous catch of fish by Peter and his team, what provoked that miracle? It was partnership. Philip Peter gave to Jesus his boat to use it to preach. Am I communicating? He partnered with the gospel. He gave Jesus his boat to use it to preach. And then when Jesus was done, he says, cast your net for a drought. Even though he had toiled all night, he caught nothing. There was a supernatural catch. There are some of your seeds and sacrifices that God remembers in heaven, and he releases supernatural miracles, signs and wonders in response to them. Am I communicating? Partnership. Partnership. We read about in Luke 7 that centurion that loved the nation of Israel and built a synagogue. And Jesus was touched by that. It was part of the reason why he went and ministered healing to his dear servant. Am I communicating? There are things you do. In Psalm 20 from verse 1, the Lord heard thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from his sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Next verse. Remember, look at this. He said, remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Your sacrifice has a voice in the realm of the spirit. It speaks in your favor. Am I communicating? It speaks in your favor. It speaks in your favor. It speaks in your favor. Glory to God. I say glory to God. We change levels when we engage in sacrificial giving. It changes our level supernaturally. I tell people, birthdays are not just do you know somebody can celebrate their birthday and they are still in the same season that they were? As in, they are adding years, but the season of their life is the same. It's possible. Because spiritual seasons don't just change like that with the passage of chronological time. There are things you must do for the season of your life to change. Ideally, every birthday should mark the opening of a new season. But if you don't know how to apply the spiritual laws that will make you break forth into a new season, you may remain in your former season. For instance, if I'm celebrating my birthday, my pastor must pray for me. The prophet over my life must speak into my life. It means so much to me. I have to make every sacrifice for him to speak words, lay hands on me, speak prophetic words, because these are the things that changes the seasons of my life. And then I open my heart in faith and receive. Then of course I give my seed of honor. I sow into that grace. There are things you must do for the seasons of your life to change, or else somebody can be adding years, 25 years, 26 years, 27 years, but in the realm of the spirit is still at 18 years. Birthdays are supposed to be purpose anniversary days. They are calling celebration days. I say they are purpose anniversary days. They are days to remind you that you are on earth for a purpose, to fulfill a divine purpose. God created you. They are on earth to remind you of your divine calling. You know, the way some people celebrate birthday is very funny. Eh? They even call for party. They throw party. They will dance and dance and dance until they have waist pain. They will now be calling Pastor Abeg pray. Waist pain. You are not wise. Have I communicated? The last key. Number what now? Impartations of the Spirit. The law of impartation. Romans 1:11. Now there are laws that govern impartation. I've mentioned some of these law. Law of faith. Law of honor. Law of service. Consecration. Obedience, etc. Impartation is one of the laws that empowers you to walk in the supernatural. Romans 1:11. It says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established." Spiritual gifts can be imparted. They can be imparted. Am I communicating? When the laws of impartation are obeyed, you can receive impartation from the carriers. From the carriers. You must hunger for it. You connect in faith. You apply the law of faith, honor, the law of consecration, service, impartation. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, he said, "Covet earnestly the best gift." Spiritual gift can be coveted. You can covet impartations of the Spirit. In Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, it says, "And now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses the servant of God had laid hands on him." When hands are laid on you, open your heart and receive impartation. It's not just for formality. No. Joshua received the impartation of supernatural wisdom for successful leadership and ministry from Moses when hands were laid on him. No wonder he started recording supernatural victory. And through him, through his leadership, God brought the children of Israel into the promised land, and he divided their inheritance to them. Impartation. In 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, watch this. He says, 14, verse 14. First, he says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy." It was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, the elders at his ordination. They laid hands on him and he received an impartation of the gift of prophecy. Am I communicating? He received impartation, a prophetic impartation, when the elders laid hands on him at his ordination. Spiritual gift can be imparted. There is no dimension of grace that you desire that you cannot receive by impartation from the carriers, provided that you obey those laws of impartation and you have the right attitude of your heart. Numbers 27 verse 18. Rise to your feet. Numbers 27 verse 18. You can write 18 to 20.
Oh, Rabakasa Brandegebo Shalabataya. These are the laws that govern the supernatural. They are all spiritual laws. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, lay thy hands upon him. Next verse. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Verse 20. And thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him. He said, thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. I want you to lift up your voice. You have learned about the laws that govern, these spiritual laws that govern impartations, that govern the supernatural, the law that control, that provoke and trigger the supernatural into manifestation. Now I want you to lift up your voice and ask for the grace to be a doer, the grace to correctly and consistently apply this law, the law of faith, the grace to take up the responsibility of building your faith, the law of honor, the grace to walk in honor, the law of service, the grace to serve God, the grace to serve kingdom service, the grace, mandabaya, to serve with the right attitude of your heart, submission and obedience, the grace to be submitted to the lordship of Christ, the grace to submit to spiritual authority, the grace for obedience to God and the authorities over you, the grace for consecration, liga bagadaya sombregedaya, the grace for sacrifice, the grace for giving, kabaliga barakatai lefrendo soboliga badia, the grace to access light and revelation, the grace to preach the gospel with passion, with gusto, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the grace for soul winning, the grace to love God and love humanity, the grace and compassion for suffering humanity, the grace for prayer, grace for fasting, the grace for praise and worship, to praise and worship God as a lifestyle.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Azon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.